Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
We are now joined by Buffalo's own editor-in-chief at Raw Story, Dave Leventhal. Dave, sorry to take you away from the Colts-Patriots game.
Yeah, well, at least all of us, our blood pressure gets to stay a little bit lower for at least another 24 hours.
That is very nice, isn't it? Because you see a team below 500 come to town and you're just like, anything goes wrong during the game, it's through the roof. But you're right. Today is a calm day, Dave. And we just heard in the last hour, Congressman Brian Higgins stepping down in February. What's Congressman Higgins' legacy in Washington?
Well, he has a very kind of curious legacy, especially when you compare him to many of the members of the U.S. House of Representatives that we think of in a contemporary context, the Marjorie Taylor Greens of the world and the Matt Gaetzes of the world and the squad on the Democratic side. Brian Higgins was sort of the antithesis to all of that. You could call him a backbencher. You could call him a low-profile congressman. But he was a congressman who, I think if you were to add his legacy up, and you may love the guy and you may not like the guy, but he was somebody who very much had Buffalo at the center of his work in Washington, D.C. He was focused on the Western New York area and his district first, and sort of on those more national political issues second. And that was something that he very much embraced. It was something that he very much owned. And as he leaves office now, it's something that the big question is that going to be replaced? Who is ultimately going to fill that void? And are they going to take a different approach to the way that they legislate and the way that they operate as a politician? Or are they going to take a different tack, a same tack? And that's a very open question right now.
Yeah, the congressman said in his resignation speech that the dysfunction in Congress is why he is stepping down. Have you heard that from other members of Congress who might be thinking of getting away after this term?
Yeah, we've heard it from some Democrats and we've heard it from some Republicans. There seems to be, at least among a certain lot of members of Congress, a certain lot of lawmakers, that they're just sick of it. They're done. They can do other things. And when you're a member of Congress, you're never going to be lacking for options. You can go and you can lobby. You can go into academia. You can go and lead a theater group. You can do kind of whatever you want. And there's always going to be a market for your services, not only because of the prestige that comes with having a former lawmaker on board on your roster, but also, too, because they have incredible connections and oftentimes experience that is very valuable in the private sector or the nonprofit sector. So when given the choice between another 2 years of the same old, and the constant infighting and the kind of crappy schedules, too, that the many of them will have, especially if you're, say, a congresswoman or congressman from Arizona or California or somewhere in the West Coast, you're flying back and forth all the time. It's not very conducive to having young families, for example. So, yeah, power is wonderful, and having that profile is great until it's not. And some Congress people are making choices as a result of that.
Now, take me through this process. So he'll resign in February. Does the person who wins his seat automatically get put on his committees, or will those be filled as soon as he leaves Congress?
No. So Buffalo in his district will be without a member of Congress at least for a period of time. This is not like the U.S. Senate. So this is a big difference between the House and the Senate, which I think is a kind of an underappreciated part of all of this. There will be a special election for the seat. And then ostensibly there will be another election in November of 2024. So people are going to be voting a lot and more than they usually do if you live in Brian Higgins' district. Now, in the U.S. Senate, the governor of a state would have the ability to just immediately appoint a temporary acting senator who has the full rights and privileges of being a senator, but is only there to serve out a term. So there's a difference there. And as a result of that difference, that House seat is going to have not only no representation, at least for a period of time, but also to it could have multiple people serving in that district. You could be looking at in a year's time having three different members of Congress serving in that one seat, conceivably. So buckle up if you're in Brian Higgins' district, to say the least.
Yeah, for sure. And his committees, will those just be empty, or will that be filled by a Democrat?
Well, the committee seats that he's in right now will be filled by nobody until ultimately there is somebody to fill those seats. It is quite possible that those seats will be filled by the new person, but it's possible that there could be some sort of rearrangement. Of course, Brian Higgins right now is in the minority, so the Republicans will have a big say in how all of this goes down. But that's what we know at this point.
What's the natural progression for a politician? So, you know, we have a state senator who's possibly interested, a mayor, and a county executive. Usually, what is the step before Congress?
It really depends. And I think it depends on the circumstances of the district. It depends on who is leaving. It depends on the state. But oftentimes you're going to have people who are in those state or county offices that are going to logically try to move up and try to level up. And so it's not surprising that people like Byron Brown are getting tossed around for potentially entering the race, county executives, state assembly members, state senators. So all of that seems very logical. Now, you also, too, can have people who are not politicians who might be very interested and who are successful in the business world or otherwise feel like they can stake a claim to making a strong run for a seat like that. And special elections are very special because it's usually a condensed campaign. In this case, it absolutely will be. The voter turnout is usually a good bit lower than it would be in a regular election on a regular cycle, as we will have a year from now in November of 2024. So everything is sort of on a crazy fast track. And the people who are ultimately going to the polls to vote in those special elections, they're going to usually be the most engaged and motivated of all. So that definitely plays to people who already have sort of a built-in base, a group of people who are already supportive of that candidate who may already have elected office. So would this favor a Byron Brown? I don't know, but that's definitely something to be considered in a special election that could be also too a little bit different than you would have in a longer run regular election.
And you mentioned the low turnout. We had Erie County Comptroller Kevin Hardwick on at 10, and he said that's why if he was the Republicans, he'd put all the money into the special election because of that low voter turnout and their chance to have the seat for a few months.
He's absolutely right, and that this, if Republicans want to have any chance of possibly picking up the seat, which is a very blue district for all intents and purposes, this would be just about the only time for them to do it. They almost have no chance, the Republicans, that is, in winning in the general election. So that makes a lot of sense just from a pure politics kind of play.
Now, Mazurowski and I were having this conversation on Friday, and I said I was going to ask you because you would know. What is the more desirable job with Buffalo in mind, Dave? The mayor of being the mayor of Buffalo or being in Congress? Because the rumors are that Tim Kennedy, his eyes have been on mayor. Now, what is the more desirable? What does history tell us is the more desirable of those two positions?
Well, history would tell you different things depending on the time period. If we're talking in 2023, Joe, you might think that being the mayor of a city would be more attractive, just given the complete and utter unabashed, unhinged chaos here in Washington, D.C., and the ability as a freshman member, and let's just say a Democrat does get the seat, a freshman member of the Democratic Party in this Congress right now, well, you're going to be at the bottom of the bottom of the barrel. So it's going to be an attractive position in the sense that you are a member of Congress and you get all the things that come with that. But at the same time, too, you're going to be a nobody in the midst of a maelstrom. So, hey, if you're a masochist and that's what you want to do, great. But mayor may, at least at this point in Buffalo, be a more attractive job. But everyone's going to have their own opinion and their own take on that question.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ah, DSW, Earth Place of the Humble Brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
It's just pretty bleak here in Washington, D.C. Let's tell the truth.
Speaking of Washington, D.C., there were no elections for Congress or Senate, but there were some local elections that got a lot of eyeballs throughout the country. Obviously, here in Western New York, we had Western New York specific, but you had a big election in Ohio. You had an election in Kentucky, Mississippi, and Virginia. Dave, what was the big national story out of Election Day 23?
Well, the big national story, if there's one to be had, is that Democrats did a lot better than even they thought that they were going to do. They had some very, very big legislative victories, some big victories with ballot initiatives, particularly you mentioned Ohio. They had a couple of them there, one dealing with marijuana legalization for recreational purposes and also abortion. This is not a blue state. This is a red state, a real red state in this day and age. And yet things that were priorities typically of the center or the center left were winning the day there. So for a lot of Republicans, this was sort of a bit of a not just a head-scratching moment, but one of like, uh-oh, are we going in the wrong direction? So there's been a lot of chatter and internal deliberation within the Republican Party, and I think you saw that during the presidential debate, too, if anyone actually watched it, where the candidates are like, well, hey, this is the party of Donald Trump, and we keep losing. We keep losing all of these elections. We need to do something different here. So Donald Trump, of course, vehemently disagreed, but that's the debate right now that's going on within the Republican Party. In Virginia, too, the Democrats were able to score some major state legislative victories. So this is not the kind of stuff that the people in Nebraska or Idaho are really going to be paying super close attention to, but the implications are very real in terms of what's going to be happening across the country legislatively and issue priority-wise. And it does speak at least to some extent, although I would caution to read too much into it as to the direction that we're going in for 2024.
You know, Virginia's one that's a head-scratcher, right, Dave? Because Glenn Youngkin is actually a pretty popular governor as a Republican in what has become a blue state.
Yeah, you're right. And in Virginia is, I think we can very fairly call it a purple state. It has gone back and it has gone forth, and Democrats seem to be ascendant one day and Republicans seem to be ascendant the next, and then it flips back and forth together. So if you are looking for a state where you're trying to read the tea leaves of 2023 and extrapolate to what might happen in 2024, Virginia would be a pretty darn good state to do that for, because in a presidential election year contest, that's going to be one that is very much going to be in play. And you have a Republican governor, one who might himself even have presidential aspirations sooner rather than later. And then you have Democrats who've done really well in 2023. So you can fully expect, Joe, that there is going to be just a ton of money that is poured into that particular state. The Northern Virginia area is right here across the river from Washington, D.C., so there's a great deal of power and money. But the more rural parts and in southern parts of Virginia are very Republican and very conservative. So it is a truly mixed state, politically speaking, and that's why Virginia can likely be seen as a major, major battleground going into the next year.
All right, you mentioned the GOP debate, and you mentioned Glenn Youngkin, and that is the question I want to get to. So obviously you heard the candidates on the stage say, you know, we're a party of losing. Vivek Ramaswamy said, you know, he put the blame on Ronna McDaniel. But I think it's pretty obvious. I mean, a lot of Republicans are feeling that it's loss after loss, even years that 2022, right? An unpopular president. It was supposed to be a big year for Republicans. Yeah, they got Congress, but not the wave they were thinking. Does there seem to be, I mean, I could probably answer my own question with the ABC polling that came out showing Trump winning in four battleground states, but does there seem to be some appetite for someone like a Glenn Youngkin?
Maybe, but not really at this point. Donald Trump is still kicking everyone's butt in every poll that is taken at every level, in every state, and at the national level. Nobody has emerged in the Republican Party as any meaningful threat to Donald Trump, period. Now, we're saying that here in mid-November. Could things change in 2 months? Could Donald Trump's legal nightmares all come together and start becoming real in a way where he is in a real threat of violating a court order and going to jail, or one of his trials goes underway in the four criminal trials that he is going to be facing, and things begin to get bad for him. The civil trial that he's now in the midst of, could that go the wrong way and his business empire crumble? I mean, there's a lot of open questions, unanswered questions that are going to be answered likely in the midst of the presidential election, and that could be good or bad for Donald Trump. So what does this mean for a Glenn Youngkin or anyone else? It means that there may be some sort of an opening, and may mean that there's some kind of an opportunity, but this is all purely speculative at this point. And meanwhile, Joe Biden and Donald Trump just continue to go at it. And lately, it's just seemed to be a competition between the president and the former president of which one is more addled and more idle and experiencing the greater mental decline. Joe Biden just came out with an ad that was more or less a highlight reel of Donald Trump stumbling over his words and mistaking people by name. It's getting kind of ugly. So Republicans, though, Ron DeSantis included, have really gone after Donald Trump in a way in the past couple of weeks, probably more out of desperation than anything, to also question whether he is fit to serve mentally and legally and otherwise. So this may amount to nothing, and Donald Trump may sweep through Iowa, New Hampshire, and South Carolina and all the early states, and nobody can catch him, even if they had a rocket strapped to their back. But this is the tack that they're trying to take at this point, and really kind of the not Hail Mary pass yet that they're throwing, but they're getting close to the end game here.
The election of who's the more unpopular president, 2024.
Totally.
Last question, because we did talk a lot about the Republicans just now. Last week, we started to see, Dave, and I don't know how loud it was, you know, with social media, everything's echoed, right? But we started to hear some people on the left say, yeah, maybe Joe Biden's not the guy for 2024. Were those just whispers, or is that getting a little louder as we go into 2024?
Well, there's always been whispers about that, and that goes back years. It goes back to when Joe Biden was first elected, and it seemed more likely than not that he might just be voluntarily a one-term president, that he would serve, he would be a bridge to the future, and then he would step away for somebody else to to come in and run, whether that was Kamala Harris or Pete Buttigieg or Gavin Newsom or somebody else. But that did not come to pass, and Joe Biden made the decision to run again. And it's, who's going to tell the president of the United States, oh, no, sir, you gotta step down. You can't run again. So it was really Joe Biden's decision, along with the first lady, Jill Biden, too, who was instrumental in making that decision alongside Joe Biden. But Joe Biden, every time he gives a speech, every time he makes a video, is something that is unprompted, unscripted, Democrats, they hold their breath, and they're worried that it's going to not go well. And Joe Biden, 20, 30 years ago, always had the reputation for Joe Biden gaffes and things where he would go off script and say something a little off color or, in some people's opinion, untoward. And now Joe Biden, he's past his 80th birthday. If he won a second term and served until the end, he would be 86 on the day that he left office. And there are definitely Democrats who are phenomenally concerned about what the next 4 years would bring if Joe Biden becomes the president again for a second term in January of 2025. But in the meantime, nothing's going to change unless Joe Biden himself decides that that is going to change. And he's given zero indication of that.
Dave, I always say it, never a dull moment. I hope you enjoy your stress-free Sunday, because I just have a feeling tomorrow is going to be an up and down roller coaster from 8 till about midnight.
I have a feeling too, so I'm going to take a nice little hike and rake some leaves and, you know, just do normal people things.
That sounds great. Dave, always great talking with you, and we will hear from you bright and early, 6:50 Tuesday morning.
Absolutely. Have a great weekend.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute. Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no, so my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now, I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.